This year, three hurricanes in quick succession slammed into parts of Texas, Florida, and the Caribbean. The residents of Île de Jean Charles in southern Louisiana were spared. And that is a good thing, because the next hurricane that hits the island could be its last. The town is home to a community of Native Americans that is sinking into the water, and the state is moving the island's 29 households to higher ground. I visited the Louisiana coast this summer, and we're going to revisit this story about some of America's first climate refugees. Since the middle of the last century, more than 90% of Île de Jean Charles has just dissolved into the bayou, and the people who still live here are barely clinging to what's left.
Hi, Rooster.
Rooster Falgo is working under the hot sun. He's outside his home, stooped over an ancient-looking lawnmower. With spare parts and tools around his feet, he says he doesn't want to leave.
I don't believe I got that much left.
You don't think you have that much left, so you just want to stick around?
81 left, you know. 81 years old, huh? So,
You're 81 years old.
Yeah, I'm 82, so...
But Rooster's wife, Rita, is ready.
It's totally different from when I grew up.
What's the biggest difference?
The water.
Rita Falgo says life here is becoming increasingly isolated. Last year, the state of Louisiana announced a $48 million grant from the federal government to resettle members of the island's Biloxi, Chitimacha, Choctaw tribe. The state predicts sea level rise and rampant coastal erosion will make Île de Jean Charles unlivable in the coming years. The road that connects it to the outside world is already crumbling into the water.
Across there, we could walk. Way back there, where you see the water.
I see a lot of water way back
there.
So you're just pointing off into the distance. I see, maybe, is that an oil well right there?
Past that.
You're saying that used to be all dry land?
Dry land. Mm-hmm. All companies started digging canals, and anyway, erosion. Erosion, like back there, the island is going under, and the whole thing's going to be underwater soon. Like another hurricane, and we're gone. If we have another one like Rita or Gustav, that's going to be it.
But it's not even just the hurricanes. It's like trying to cross that road that leads to the island. There was water on that when I crossed over today.
Yeah, and you see, my granddaughter used to live with me all the time, but she moved. It was too far from doctors and hospital. She's a diabetic. She couldn't stay here. She had to go. It's what's bad, and my husband worried about him, see if he gets sick, and the road's flooded, but we're going to.
You want to get out of here as soon as you possibly can.
Yes.
Because you feel like the clock is ticking.
It is.
And it's not hard to see why she feels this sense of pending disaster. On a perfect blue sky day, I had to drive my car through a street flooded with ankle-deep water to meet one of the island's residents. Soon, the people who live here will be among the first climate refugees in America. But what happens to their culture and their way of life? Families grew up here sustaining themselves on the land that's given way to this.
People could hunt and trap. There were fruit trees, grapefruit, strawberries, tomatoes, anything you could grow.
Heather Stone is an oral historian at the University of Louisiana Lafayette, who's been speaking to people here about what they've lost and what they're about to lose. We met on top of the island's levee with a clear view of the water on the other side.
There was cattle on the island.
What happened?
A lot of different things. So about 100 years ago, when the Mississippi upriver, they started using levees and dams up there, it affected the drainage that came here, so there was no sediments to rebuild after storms. So the island started shrinking then. And then the storms would come and take chunks away.
In a way, it's beautiful. It's green, the water, the clouds, the sky, the fresh breeze coming off. But
this is why people want to stay.
This place isn't a crisis.
Yes. The peaceful feeling that you get here is a sense of place that you can't just go and find somewhere else. And it's in crisis because until the 1950s, the only way you could get here was by piro, which is a little canoe that's carved out of cypress. And you can't even get you don't even see any cypress trees that are alive here anymore.
all those dead trees that we can see right here on the inside of the levee are dead, and that's because of salt water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the government has given this money to move people out of this community. You're an oral historian. You talk to people about this very thing, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. How do they feel about this idea of leaving this spot?
You know, this is a Native American community, the Biloxi, Chitimacha, Choctaw. And they've been here since the 1800s. During the Indian Removal Act, they moved here to get away from being moved to Oklahoma and further west and hid here and found and remade themselves here. So they were from internally in the U.S. where they did not fish, they did not shrimp, they did not do any of that. They came here and made a whole life for themselves. And generations have gone by and they've made it work. And now they will never be able to have cattle again, or the water's not going to be clean enough for them to grow on the ground. And if you came into my neighborhood, which haven't even been there more than 10 years, and said, I'm sorry, but it's not cost effective to save this neighborhood, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
There's just not enough people here to build the infrastructure that would protect it, essentially. It's not New Orleans.
No.
We understand that it's a really tragic set of circumstances that, you know, I think anybody would be emotional about.
Matthew Sanders works for the state's Office of Community Development, the agency responsible for resettling the island. Sanders says the move is voluntary. No one will be forced to leave. He says of the island's 29 households, all but three agree it's time to go.
As we build out a new community and we move them off the island, we want them to maintain continued access to the island and allow them to use it for recreational, cultural purposes, until which time it goes underwater and there's no longer any access to it. And so we've talked about that in terms of a long goodbye.
And that goodbye will be here soon. The state has identified three potential tracts of nearby land on higher ground. Sanders says they're looking for a place that's similar culturally and historically to the home the islanders are leaving. The new houses will be raised up to protect against flooding. Construction could start next year.
I don't know that there's a comparable example of trying to pick up a community as a whole and move it wholesale. You know, there's not really a blueprint here that we can follow. So, I mean, we're part of what we're trying to do here is really create a model that can be scaled and replicated in other places. And so it's a learning opportunity.
I mean, there's no blueprint, but you may be making one and you may have to use it again, judging by how things are going down there.
Well, I think not only may we have to use it again, but we're certainly going to have to use it again. And so, I mean, we understand in Louisiana that despite all of our coastal restoration efforts, despite all of our structural protection efforts, you know, we're going to lose land over time and we're going to incur a higher degree of flood risk. And, you know, we have communities that are just from a physical and environmental standpoint, not going to be able to survive over the decades to come. And so, you know, we can either sit around and wait for that degradation to happen over time or in an instant through a significant disaster event, or we can be proactive and work with those communities today and find some financially sustainable model by which we can pick people up and move them as a group.
There is an eerie sense of finality to all this.
Did he just go in?
For some people on the island, this is happening at the end of a long life. Wenceslas and Denicia Billiot are in their 90s and frail. They spend their afternoons on an elevated porch overlooking the levee, occasionally slipping into the French they grew up learning on the bayou.
I don't know if I want to move. I'm be gone before that the thing is not finished. Yeah, I'm 92. That's the old change place, huh?
But Denicia's husband says they will go. Ile de Jean Charles has changed too much.
I'm going to miss this place. You see, when I was a boy, they had a marsh in there. They didn't have no water like that. You can go put a trap, get some muskrat, raccoon, everything they had those days. But no more. Now everything is gone.
That story first aired in June, and there's news about Denicia and Wenceslas. They're doing great. They're going to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary on December 23rd.